Okay, Angela Feeney, Councillor Angela Feeney, Labour Councillor on Claremont off and on with us on the programme, says she was born during the Angelus and therefore that's why she's called Angela in regards to that. And other messages coming in regards to it, it's amazing how this has caught people's attention. But one person says, the Angelus on RTE is a rotten sectarian performance. It discriminates against anyone who is not Catholic. It should have been abolished decades ago. And another listener says, I wonder how people would feel if it was a Muslim prayer that came on. Well, you see, at the moment there's no prayer. There are no words. It's just a series of images. So, but yes, of course, you can't get away from the fact that it is the 6 o'clock bells ringing is associated exclusively, I would say, with the Angelus. Clem, when people move to this country, they shouldn't be allowed to change the ways of a country like the Angelus. We wouldn't be allowed to change their ways in another country, says another. But I haven't heard of anyone, you know, from other countries trying to change the Angelus or whatever. People are reflecting on that we're such a multicultural society now. Is it appropriate that something like the Angelus is marked on our national television and radio service at certainly at 6 o'clock? I don't know if it's also marked at 12 o'clock, but certainly at 6 o'clock, despite the changes that have come in other years. Clem, you probably know better than I do. No, I don't claim to know better than any of my listeners. But as I remember, Christy Walsh on CKR had no agenda for his show. He would just... You're dead right. Christy would walk in. Chris Walsh, God be with him, and may he rest in peace. He'd walk in with an old bits of paper under the arm, and morning all. That was his, remember that? Morning all, and that was it, and let the listeners take over. It would save Owen and myself an awful lot of work, I think, if we were to do that. Clem, from over, as a person over 70, back in our days, all prayers said the Holy Ghost. Now we say the Holy Spirit. I want to come back to that point in just a minute. Clem, as I understand it, it's up to each parent to organise a tutor for their child during the summer programme. It's not down to the school, says Frankie Newbridge. Furthermore, I know that some parents don't want the school to provide a programme for their own reasons. So while that school in Newbridge may in fact be unable to provide the course, it's not always black and white. And Frank, we've just been informed about a second school in the Newbridge area, two schools who have not got the resources to provide the summer July programme for special needs students. And Senator Fiona Loughlin has said she's now going to contact all schools in the Newbridge area to find out what's the story. And finally, before I go to Ciara, regarding the Holy Ghost, Clem, Tony and Carlo is saying this one, but he went to Clarenco National School. He said, we were taught and she was conceived of the Holy Ghost, not by the Holy Ghost. And there's a big difference. Whatever you say, Tony, the difference between of and by. But okay, Ciara.
Yes.
Because I got an email from you last night. This woman works 24 hours a day of that, there's no doubt. And because she's on top of everything, our head of news. The county's 14-day incidence rate remains the highest in Ireland, Ciara.
No, yes, it does on one metric and it doesn't on another. So okay, on the day-to-day metric, the incidence rate that we get when NPHET and the Department of Health reveal unto us the daily incidence rate, Kildare is the highest in Ireland. It's at 253.5 cases per 100,000 people. For context, the Irish rate, the state rate across the country, is 129.3. So 564 people in this county have been diagnosed with COVID-19 in the 14 days to May 2nd. So that's between the 29th of April and the 12th of May.
Now, what's the story with Newbridge and even Athy?
So the
incidence, and the other areas, yeah.
Yeah, the incidence rates are conducted on a local electoral area basis. So it's important to note that when we may be saying Newbridge, we're not talking about Newbridge town. It's the entire local electoral area.
Yeah.
So the 14-day incidence rate in the Newbridge local electoral area, which has a population, let me just see, of about 35,000 people, is over three times the state rate. It is at 414.3, 147 new cases of COVID-19 in the Newbridge local electoral area in the 14 days to Monday just gone. It's very, very high, 323% above the state's rate.
And people asking, why is that? I don't know why. In Athy, it's 226.1 with 60 new cases. All this information courtesy of Kira. In Maynooth, it's 208.5 per 100,000. 62 people in that area were diagnosed with COVID-19 in the 14-day period. Selbridge's rate, electoral area, remember we're talking about electoral areas, as Kira pointed out, is 203.5, 44 new cases. Leixlip, 201.8, 32 new cases. Naas, just 176.4, but 69 new cases. Clane, God, you're a mine of information, Kieran, Kira Plunkett, I'll say that. Clane, 123 cases and 35 new cases. But Kira, the Newbridge case, which is, you know, three times the national average, double the county average, 414.3 in the 14 days per 100,000, 140. What's going on there, do you know? Because listeners are wondering.
I don't, but it's also important to note that neighbouring Kildare local electoral area also has an incidence rate significantly above the state's rate, 315.2. So that's the Kildare local electoral area, Kildare town and its entire hinterland. So something is occurring in that block of County Kildare. And for context, we've been hearing Donegal in terms of its incidence rate in the news for weeks and weeks. It held the top spot for several weeks over County Kildare. So the highest local electoral area COVID-19 incidence rate in Ireland is in Milford local electoral area in Donegal. It's 472, not so far above that of Newbridge. So that'll kind of give you a picture of the Newbridge local electoral experience compared to the rest of Ireland. And it's certainly one to be concerned about.
All right, thanks indeed. Kira Plunkett for that. And you'll hear much more from Kira, not just on our early news bulletins throughout the day, but also on Kildare Focus this afternoon between 2 and 3 along with Kira Noble. Now, we'll get to some more messages, but lads, we're going to Jack and Jill next. But given that this is the first... She turned off the lights on me again. Thanks, Kira. Given that we're heading towards total freedom, lads, in the shopping areas, with all non-essential opening from Monday, isn't it? And so many more places open already, and we can now travel around the country, and I'm going to see my mammy later on. So I think this is appropriate, don't you? Petula Clark, let's rock on downtown, everybody. Sing along.
When you're alone and life is making you lonely, you can always go downtown. When you've got worries, all the noise and the hurry seems to help, I know. Downtown, just listen to the brighter there. You can't forget all your troubles, forget all your cares. So go downtown, things will be great when you're downtown. No final place for sure. Downtown, everything's waiting for you. Don't hang around and let your problems surround you. Shows downtown. Maybe you know some little places to go to where they never close. Downtown, just listen to the rhythm of a gentle bossa nova. We'll be dancing with them too before the night is over. Happy again, the lights so much brighter there. You can't forget all your troubles, forget all your cares. So
Julie Clark. So if you're going downtown this weekend, don't forget to keep your social distance, all right? Wear your face coverings, but hang out there and enjoy it indeed. Don't know why my computer system has decided that now it's going to refresh. But anyway, I think we're back okay. Carmel Doyle is CEO of Jack and Jill. Good morning, Carmel.
Good morning, Clem. How are you doing?
Good to talk to you again. Now, earlier this week, we heard from Marie O'Brien, and in regards, you've just, to tell listeners, of course, that you've just launched your Kildare fundraising to help the 20 families and so on. The Jack and Jill helps 134 plus children and all of that in relation to it. And hopefully there is a good response coming in on that. Now, in terms of what we said earlier in the week, we heard from Tina Priestley on Kildare Focus yesterday, Marie O'Brien, Mary Jo Guilfoyle, was it the nurse,
yes,
on Monday as well. And how the campaign is going anyway. You're asking people to support local, donate local, because as we have been telling listeners throughout the week, you have to raise the guts of 4 million a year to help all those families, 374 families you help around the country, 2,500 children who've been supported by Jack and Jill since Marianne O'Brien and Jonathan Irwin founded Jack and Jill back in 1997.
Yeah, there's a big numbers story there, Clem. We have to raise over 4 million every year to do what we do. And Marianne and Jonathan set up Jack and Jill based on their own son's experience. And as you say, since then we've helped 2,500. But in answering your question, it's been going really well. And thanks so much to listeners, FKFM, and all the local media for getting behind our Kildare fundraising drive, asking people to support local and donate local for the 20 wonderful children we support in County Kildare.
20 families.
Yeah.
And there's 130 plus children, because every €18 funds 1 hour of nursing home care. It's €1,440 to fund a family for only a month, €17,000 a year. Because we're talking about children in most cases who are encountering the most severe neurodevelopmental challenges.
Well, that's it. And we know they do better at home, and that's where their parents want them. And no matter how hard any of us think we work on a Friday, looking into the summer, we never work as hard as a parent like Maria O'Brien, Tina Priestley with Bobby, because they have a lot on their plate, 24/7 care, over 20 pieces of equipment at home. Their children may be tube-fed, oxygen-dependent, a lot of care needs. These are not children that you can ask a neighbour to watch. So our lovely nurses, and a big shout out to them this week, because it's International Nurses Day earlier this week. We've got 40 nurses around the county of Kildare. You know, they do a wonderful job just to give a little bit of respite to our families and to make a big difference. But they are big numbers, Clem, because we're not just in there for a weekend. We're in there for when the child is from birth to 6 years of age. That's a big commitment from Jack and Jill, up to 80 hours per month for a child who's end of life. And that's, you know, we have to take a deep breath when we commit to these children. But commit we do, because that's what Jonathan Irwin set up and Marianne O'Brien. And, you know, we've got huge support, as I said, Lily O'Brien, that's where Marianne came from. You know, the companies in Kildare have really been getting behind us. And we're just saying, if you're thinking of a local charity to support, look at Jack and Jill, and know that every €18 you fund will fund 1 hour of home nursing care that's going to make a real difference to a child in your location. So whether these companies can set up as county champions for Jack and Jill, and since your program airing, we have great support, as I said, from the Lily O'Briens, the Queeley Group, JF Dunn, Peter Grady has been bringing there from Logistics IT, and Glenbay Homes, indeed, they sponsored the ad we're running as well. Mm-hmm. So we couldn't do what we do. The Westgrove Hotel, we haven't been able to do many meetings with them, but they're fantastic to Jack and Jill. This is all about local people saying, hey, I know a local charity based there in Johnstown. I know they support 20 children. I know it's an ongoing commitment. I know it costs a lot, but if a company gives us €900, that's going to fund 50 hours for a month for a child. And as you say, it's a big deal for us, but we have to raise 40 million every year We do get 20% from the HSE. We should get a hell of a lot more because we have a very good business case to make for more, and we'll be making that case.
You should indeed. We mentioned Marie, we mentioned Tina, two parents. We've had Samantha Kenny from Athy on with us. She paid tribute to you when we did our interview with Marie and Mary Jo earlier this week, and saying her little girl Ava requires 24 hours a day care. It's quite incredible, the demands on these parents and the wonderful work you do. So the appeal is to businesses, €900, you become a champion, Jack and Jill champion. But for individuals out there, you can donate any amount at the website jackandjill.ie. Now, we got a call, before I let you go, Carmel, we got a call from some listeners last week. Listen, I'm not able to donate online. How else can I donate?
Okay, I'll tell you what they do, and it's a good question. On Monday, they can take a trip to our shop in Newbridge or go to Crookstown, because the great news is that we're opening again 10 a.m. Monday, and a big shout out to all the volunteers who keep those shops in Kildare going, and to Peter and to Mary. They've stocked up, they've cleaned it, they've sanitised, we're ready to go, and have a visit to our shops in Newbridge or in Crookstown, or just give the office a ring, and we'll make we'll find a way to donate, because anything helps. And thanks to Samantha there for ringing in, because it's the parents really that keep Jack and Jill going, because you're never too far from a Jack and Jill family. In Dublin we have 94 families. We're all around the country, and this service makes a huge, huge difference to these families who want, with a bit of support from Jack and Jill, to be able to look after their child. And just, I heard that piece about, so much of the other respite has been cancelled at community level. I heard about the special school there, people saying, can you look after children over the summer? We've kept going through COVID, and we've continued to keep going, just like the parents and the families that we support. And the beautiful children.
Well
the
done.
20 children.
And to point out to everybody, we've been delighted this week to help to promote this Kildare fundraising drive, because every penny raised will be spent in Kildare on Kildare families, and that 130 plus children, those 20 families, to help them, who are facing the most enormous challenges. Remember, we're talking about children, many who have, whose term of lifespan is severely compromised, but who require 24 hours a day care. And as Tina and Denise and Samantha Kenny previously on the programme, and Aisling McNiff, their entire lives are around this, and it gives them a little bit of respite as well as caring for their children. So do what you can. If you're a company, if you're an individual, you can donate on jackandjill.ie. Go to their Jack and Jill shops at Crookstown or Newbridge, which will be open for Monday, or give the Jack and Jill office a ring, which is just up the road in Johnstown. And the phone number for the office is, Carmel Doyle?
045-894. Actually, you've just caught me now. Ring me, 087-247.
No, don't give out your mobile on air, because you can get... Owen will dig up the number in a minute, and we'll get the number for the office. Meanwhile, CEO of Jack and Jill Foundation, keep up your incredibly wonderful work. Well
and
done
Sam,
on that, Carmen.
Thanks for being such a great champion for Jack and Jill, and get that phone number out there for people, please. Thank you so much.
We have that phone number right now, Owen.
Yeah, so it's 045-894-538. 045-894-538.
894-538. Give it a buzz. Thank you, Carmel, and good morning to you. That's Carmel Doyle, CEO of Jack and Jill.
Kildare Today with Clem Ryan.
Okay, you're very welcome back. Now, I have a pile of messages to catch up on, so let's do that, because they've been coming in since early morning. I'm only even just getting to the text now. The woman must be near 60 years of age. That prayer I learned going to school, says a Kildare listener. Are you speaking about Maureen Corcoran or Marie? Yes. The bishop's message was, say the angel of God prayer, and we've got the words of it at this stage. Clemmy. Look, my name is Clem or Clement. But anyway, Billy, you say... Clem, you had too much sugar in the tea this morning. You're overhyped, over-aroused. Oh, God. I'm never over-aroused, actually. I have to be very careful. Too much talk, as per normal. Too much talk. Too many subjects. Good job. All right, Billy, right. Whatever ticks your box. Thanks for that. How many bells are rang during the Angelus? I've actually never counted them. I must do that. Another listener, Councillor Anne Connolly says, I'm very surprised at you, Clem Ryan, that you didn't know your prayers. Don't be a bit surprised. Good morning, Clem. Great to hear Maureen Corcoran on the radio. She's a wonderful lady and a great neighbour. She will also give you a lesson in football. GA, that is. Especially Offaly in Kildare. I could listen to Maureen all day. Her knowledge is something else's, Eileen. Clem, I wonder if people who suggest the Angelus should be kept on air because it is open to everyone for interpretation in accordance with their own religious and spiritual beliefs would be happy if it was a Muslim prayer song instead of church bells, says Dee. Clem, would you wish our grandson Ben O'Reardon and a big happy birthday today from Nanny Irene and Grandad Tom? He's 8 today. Clem, it would be more beneficial if we all went back and learned the Ten Commandments, says Hazel. Oh, no. Listen, we've had the angel prayer, the angel of God. We've had the Angelus. Someone brought up the Hail Holy Queen. And now somebody else is bringing up the Ten Commandments. To remember those as well. Actually, we might do something on that. Can I remember? Yeah, the commandments. Vincent Brett, you're the Cahirlock of Naas Town Council now. Can you remember the Ten Commandments? Shame on you that you can't.
I mightn't go too far off some of them, but I don't. You that?
No, I don't.
Like a lot of others, I grew up saying the Rosary, and we on May Day we had to do it every day and sing that big Flowers of the Rarest. It was sung every day in national school every morning for the month of May.
Yeah, and do you ever remember learning Docus Ling Nave Padraig Ospel Mornairn? That was on St. Patrick's Day. We learned that song in school to sing it out. But going back to the Ten Commandments, I think I can remember the fifth, Thou Shalt Not Kill. There was another one there, Thou Shalt Not Covet Thy Neighbour's Wife. I don't know why I remember those two in particular. But yeah, we look up the Ten Commandments and maybe we'll do something on those on Monday.
The Little Green Catechism, I think it was 2p or 2p or...
Something like that again. Anyway, going back to the other topic, by the way, a listener says, parents can apply for July provision themselves and can avail of the programme from home for their child. It doesn't have to be done in a school. Maybe the staff in schools don't want to do it, but parents can find tutors themselves, as several teachers out there willing to do the programme, so they shouldn't have a problem with finding a tutor. That's an interesting perspective indeed. Clem, and Owen, it's down to the teachers and SNAs themselves, but they won't do it because they don't get paid for it till November, and the tax on it is ridiculous. I have two kids in one school with additional needs and another in a different school with autism, and have been looking for a home tutor for 3 and no interest. And Clem, we were with J&J years ago, Jack and Jill, yes, and they are amazing. So that's a different perspective now. Maybe it's not the schools that's the problem. Maybe it's just that the teachers don't want to be teaching in July special needs or others. And finally, Trish Proctor in Castle Dermot. Hello, Trish, and we haven't forgotten about you. I agree with that woman. Why should we change our ways? We welcome many people into this country and respect their beliefs. They have to do the same for us. Right, keep the messages coming anyway. Oh, can you believe this? Someone's after telling me there are 18 bells in the Angelus. Now, Fintan Brett, bet you never knew that.
No, I've never counted
the bells either, so I didn't know that. Fintan, you want the council to carry out a survey on the condition of what are called the random rubble walls in the Kill-Johnstown area of the slip roads.
Yeah, Clement, back in 2005, people remember the N7 was upgraded to 3 lanes from Newlands out to the Big Ball, so to transfer the traffic jam up, there was that Newlands down to Naas, as we all know. But during that works, there were slip roads put in and these walls were built. But there's been a problem from day one with the construction and especially with the mortar, whether or not there was too much cement or not enough or just dirty mortar in it, but the walls have been crumbling, the tops have come off them, and a large section of the, especially around Junction 8, has were redone about 7 or 8 years ago, but they've crumbled again. And now we have a situation where, and these random rubble walls, some of them stones are quite heavy and large, and some of them are falling. And I'm afraid that they'll, some child going along, because with the gaps to leave, it leaves an opportunity for people, and our children especially, to climb them. And if they are loose and that mortar is not sufficient, somebody could get injured. So it's to have a look at that. Because my feeling on it is that there's a big bill waiting there for the council or somebody, some public body, before the next few years, because there is a problem, an inherent problem in those walls.
Okay, indeed. Now, I think you've mentioned this before, that you want the council to engage with the N7 widening Sallins bypass contractor to ensure the temporary worksite at Johnstown is reinstated properly. What has not been done?
Well, when that job commenced, the first job done, as you're aware, was the widening of the N7.
Yeah.
So when that commenced 2 or 3 years ago, at Johnstown here, they put a temporary compound in place, and there's an area, it used to be actually the old entrance into Palmerston House from Johnstown before the motor was ever built. There was an area there that was planted by the local community association. There was about 300 various types of trees and saplings and biodiversity put in, and this contractor came in, and the whole lot of it was really demolished, and that, and there was a pile of earth there, probably a couple of hundred tons left in a mound there. Now, I don't have any big problem with the mound, we could plant that or make a feature out of it, but all the saplings and all the work done by the local community has been destroyed, and it hasn't been reinstated, which I think should be done. I don't think it should be left either to Kildare County Council or the local community to do it, especially in a project that a contractor got €110 million for.
All right. And by the way, on Monday, we're going to be having a close look at a detailed safety report, or safety audit report, that was done on this new road development, in which millions was spent. And so many issues were brought up in regards to, I suppose you could call it in housing terms, a snag list. But it is a considerable report, Fintan. We'll be discussing it with Bill Clear, because I know he brought a motion in regards to it on Monday. And there were not just the Johnstown one you're talking about. There were a lot of small issues, be it said, raised, but also some significant ones in the potential danger to pedestrians and cyclists of some of the paths and the way they were angled to the new motorway section.
Yeah, I think, look, that's what I worked in all my life, in civil engineering, and I worked on motorways and sewage schemes, you name it, I worked on them and that. Look, most of that at the time, those signage, where there was one sign in front of the other, the visibility wasn't great. A lot of that has been sorted, but I think the big problem, possibly, this was the design and build, and some of those cycleways and footpaths, cycleways and walkways were not included, and I think they came in as an afterthought, maybe. And
yeah.
Look at Bill has what Bill is saying. There are some of them going as a 90-degree onto main road, and that shouldn't be happening. It has to be either what they call maybe a hit and miss type of a barrier put up that you can zigzag in about it, but you have to stop. So look at Bill will probably go through that with you. There is some issues on that, but overall, to be fair, the bypass is superb, I'd have to say.
Okay, all right. By the way, Tracy Hoolan was just on the WhatsApp, Fintan, and she said that when you're asked about the Ten Commandments, you should plead the Fifth Amendment.
You should have plead the Fifth Commandment.
The Fifth Commandment, indeed. Fine Gael, Councillor Coyleck of Naas Town Council, Fintan Brett. Thank you, Fintan.
Thank you.
Good morning to you. So, pleading the Fifth, indeed. Good. 18 bells. Lots of people coming up with 18 bells for the Angels. Now, somebody, Mick in Kyleuff, says, do people know the name of Adam's first wife? She was made of clay just like Adam. Oh, I don't know where all of this is going. Look, coming up next, much to the joy of Tom out there, who hates the sport or feels it should only be confined to the sporting area. We'll be doing that next, hearing from the respective Kildare managers and indeed Leinster Leader Sports Editor Tommy Callan, who's practicing his prayers at this very moment.
AFM.
Yes, a packed weekend. We have Saturday Sports Beat tomorrow with Owen Beattie. We get underway with our coverage very early from a quarter to one of the hurlers Pat Costello and former Kildare star Mark Maloney will be bringing you their match views and analysis on that game against Donegal at 1 o'clock. Follow the 3:30 Semple Stadium in Thurles, where the footballers take on Cork in Division 2. Our commentary team there is Peter McConnell along with Ger McNally, of course. And all our coverage tomorrow throughout the day from a quarter to one onwards to the completion of Sports Beat at 6 o'clock is in association with Hanlon Concrete Products of Robertstown. Joining us, it seems so long, I've nearly forgotten this man. I'm sure he's grown a beard. Tommy Callaghan, Leinster Leader Sports Editor. Welcome back, stranger.
Hello, Clem. Great to be back talking to you again.
Isn't it, Tommy? What a long, long year it's been.
Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. Who would have thought it? Even at the end of last year, you know. But that had been a long time. But we're getting there.
We're getting there and we're ready to rock. Right, let's have a look at the teams. Owen, you might start with the hurlers who take on Donegal tomorrow. In a moment, we'll hear, by the way, from manager David Herity. We'll also hear from football manager Jack O'Connor. But Owen, you might give us the hurling line out again, please.
Yeah, so in goals, Paddy McKenna of Clane, full back line is Cathal Derevan, Leixlip, Ryan Boren, Nace, and Simon Lacey, Nace. Half back line, Kevin Whelan, Nace, Declan Flaherty, Coyle Dove, Sean Christensen, Clane, centre field, Cathal Dowling, Nace, Paul Dively, Confey, half forward line, Kevin Ahern, Nace, Johnny Byrne, Coyle Dove, and James Burke, Nace, and the full forward line, Tighe Ford, Maynooth, Shane Ryan, Nace, and Brian Byrne, Nace.
Okay, we'll have the football in a moment, but let's get just some of the views of David Herity speaking at a recent press conference at which Pat Costello and indeed Tommy Callaghan were present.
Paul O'Donovan done an excellent job in making sure that everyone had their programme since before Christmas. We've had pretty much the three different phases of a pre-season there. We had a fitness test the first night we came back, and then it was kind of straight into it after that. Lads had handed in their strength test results the week previous, so everyone seems in very good nick at the moment. We do have a few injuries still from last year, a few long.
So they have a few injuries indeed from last year. Just hear a little another snippet from that press conference.
Yeah, we had a fitness test the first night we came back, and then it was kind of straight into it after that.
All right, that's more or less the same clip in regards to that one.
Everyone seems in very good nick at the moment. We do have a few injuries still from last year, a few long-term lads with concussions and cruciates and so on. And then you are always expecting that you're going to pick up a few usual kind of hamstrings or quads or whatever, kind of the first few sessions back. But thankfully, we have a very strong panel there at the moment to try and make up for that.
Well, indeed, let's hear his view on the panel.
32 lads training at the moment. A couple of lads stepped away, one or two of the younger lads there need to go back to the clubs, I suppose, and just get a bit of hurling into them.
Yeah.
We've had Johnny Byrne in, Declan Flaherty, both from Kyle Love, and then we've had James Dolan in there for Air Oak. So James is a bit of a hamstring injury at the moment, but the other two lads there, the Kyle Love lads, have certainly added a huge physical aspect to it and experience as well. They both played with Kildare before in the past, and it's great to be adding in lads. And they have a history with Kildare hurling, which is massive as well.
Right, these are cuts from interviews that we have from that press conference. Indeed, Tommy put a number of questions to David Herity. One of those was to do with focusing maybe on league or the Joe McDonagh Cup. We'll hear more about that in a moment. But Tommy, those kind of preparations disrupted hugely, with players training away on their own, as he pointed out, and then some departures, injuries from the panel, but also a couple of significant, I shouldn't say newcomers, veterans like Johnny Byrne coming in, which will add great strength.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Johnny Byrne, Declan Flaherty in particular, Jerry Keegan, or Jerry misses this when he's injured. I mean, he'd been a huge addition to the panel, and Nilo Murakon is out, picked up an injury during the week. So, but look, in fairness, as David said there, the new lads in will setting up the panel. Overall, if everybody was fit, the panel probably looks that little bit stronger than it was even last year. And from the team that won the Christie Ring, I think it's 9 players are starting on Saturday. So there's a fair sprinkling of change. There are a lot of force, in fairness. But look at as David said himself, they're only back 3 weeks or something, and it's very, very difficult for the players. It's difficult for the management, and one, I suppose you could say, Donegal had a match last week, which is has to stand to them. And how long had them? It came to actually to beat Roscommon by 2 points, which was a fair result for them. So the game under their belt would be a huge bonus to Donegal, but at the same time you'd be hoping that Kildare would be strong enough to get over.
All right, you did point out, Tommy, during the press conference, because I listened to the audio from that, I wasn't there, you were, he said the last time they had played Donegal, while winning by 7 points in the end, Donegal put it up to them. Now, we were talking to some Donegal sources ourselves yesterday, and they were saying, look, the win over Roscommon was a bit of a freak thing. They don't expect Donegal to put up a significant challenge to Kildare, but that remains to be seen. Among the questions...
Propaganda,
yes, indeed, Tommy. Among the questions put by yourself and others to David Herity was this focus, will it be on the league, will it be on the Joe McDonagh Cup? Here's what he had to say.
The teams that we are playing, Donegal, we played them 2 years ago in an opening round as well, up in Donegal, scraped over with a last minute goal, to, I think, to win by 7 in the end, but for long periods of that game, we were under huge pressure. And then Derry, we haven't beaten them the last 2 years with a loss and a draw, and Roscommon bet us 2 years ago in Championship. And then we've Mayo as well, who are coming down from 2A and have a lot of experience up there. Promotion in the league is the most important thing right now. We'll know, I think, a lot more about Kildare hurling in when 10 weeks' time finishes.
So, nevertheless, Tommy, while the number of games is constrained, both hurlers and footballers this year, the league is going to be very important in terms of preparing for that Joe McDonagh Championship.
What David said on that day, really, that he's not even thinking of the Joe McDonagh at this stage. I mean, Kildare are in Division 2B, and that is not the division to be in. You will not prepare properly for... You will prepare, but you won't be getting the competition you need for Joe McDonagh in Division 2B. Now, this will be... David's told you to try and get out of that division, and they were probably a little bit unlucky last year not to make it, but they didn't. And his number one priority, as far as they'd be concerned, would be to get out of that division, get out of it into Division 2A and take it from there, and then you have a better chance of competing in the Joe McDonagh when it comes along. I suppose promotion out of Division 2B would be the number one, and then minimum retaining your Joe McDonagh status for the following year would be the ideal scenario.
Indeed. As I say, coverage begins tomorrow at 12:45. Because of the early start now, we're not in a position to do full commentaries on both games, but we'll have rolling updates of the hurling. You'll miss very, very little indeed. Pat Costello, and indeed thanks to Pat for furnishing the audio to us there, and on commentary with former Kildare star Mark Maloney. Now, busy afternoon for us, because then we head off to Semple Stadium in Thurles, where the footballers take on Cork. Again, from that same press conference attended by Tommy and other journalists. Here's what Jack O'Connor had to say in regards to the difficulties of preparing.
We couldn't get a tougher test, which is Cork. But, you know, it's everybody is in the same boat. You know, the fact that we haven't really been able to play a challenge games either is a bit of a setback. It's very hard to judge for. It's a level playing field. Everybody is in the same boat. There's such a proximity, you know, between league and championship. We're playing every game almost like a championship game. Mm-hmm. With the reduced number of games, you want to be trying to build up a bit of momentum in the league that you can take into the championship. All I know is the Thurles is a big pitch. It will be a good test of lads in a big open space. It's a big old test of both of us.
A big pitch indeed. And regarding injuries?
Niall Kelly is on the way back from Gila's injury. He should be back in contact in the next couple of weeks. Jack Robinson has issues with his hamstring. It's just not strong enough yet to take training loads.
Roger Conway, we're kind of minding him. He's doing some of the training. He had procedure done, I think. So Aaron O'Neill suffered an injury there. One evening in training, he's in there plastered. So he's got a new job and he's working long hours now. Matty is going away on the tour. I think he's going the 18th of May. We've tried to bring in a good share of younger players who mightn't necessarily make the grade this particular season, but we feel it's important for them to be knocking in around it so they get experience of what's required. The panels are constantly in a state of flux, you know, they're constantly changing, and we always think it's important to blood young players and give them a little bit of a taste of what's required, and then you can see what the level is and
and strive to get up to that level. That's important because it's a big jump from underage into senior in the county, because it's the level of physicality required is huge at this level.
And notwithstanding his caveat there in regards to young players and maybe lack of experience, hasn't prevented him from naming some younger players in the 15. Tommy's views and analysis of the football in a minute, but first Owen, the 15 named for duty in Semple tomorrow.
Yeah, Mark Donlan from Maynooth in goals, full back line Mark Dempsey, Moorfield, Mick O'Grady from Selbridge and Owen Doyle Nace. Half back line is Kevin Flynn, Selbridge, David Highland Athai and Ryan Houlihan, Moorfield. Middle of the field, Luke Flynn, Johnstown Bridge, Aaron Masterson, Moorfield. Half forward line is Alex Byrne, Nace and the two Johnstown Bridge lads, Daniel Flynn and Paul Cribben. And then in the full forward line, Jimmy Highland, Ballyteague, Kevin Feely Athai and Derek Kerwin Nace.
Okay, at least you've one fan out there, Tommy Callaghan. Mick in Salon says, Jesus, it's great to hear Tommy Callaghan's voice again. The summer is definitely here.
I hope you'll leave with the summer anyway.
Yeah, indeed. Tommy, what do you make of that selection?
I'm actually looking at it since I saw it there last night. It's a very interesting selection. I suppose the one that stands out first of all would be Alex Byrne from Nace, very, very good young footballer. Very exciting to see him starting. The six forwards named look, they're very, very exciting looking, to be quite honest with you. There's about nine of that team came that lined out against Meath in the Leinster semi final last November. At the back, they're fairly. The one thing I have to put a caveat on: is this the team that's going to start? I'm not saying I haven't any inside information or anything like that, but you must remember too that Cork, Keane O'Neill have a big influence in Cork. He's the coach down there, and the manager is out of bounds for the next couple of weeks. Keane could be in charge of the team. I don't know. So Keane would know all these lads well. And I'm just wondering, is that the 15 that will start? Maybe it is, maybe it's not. But it'd be very interesting to see if it is.
That's very interesting indeed that Kieran O'Neill could be on the sideline. That's because McCarthy is the manager there. He suffered the Desi Farrell. He's been suspended, hasn't he?
He was doing a bit of training on the beach. They were training on the beach. I heard lots of things on the beach, but training on the beach during lockdown is the first one.
It surely is. Tommy, Cork have been promoted from Division 3. I mean, hard to believe that back in 2010, Cork were probably the top one or two teams in the country. But we are where we are now. But the one thing for sure, Kildare never find Cork easy. Am I correct in saying the last time Kildare and Cork met, Cork won that game, or am I wrong there?
No. The last time Kildare and Cork, they played 2 years ago down in Parky Creeve, the day the pitch got up like a ploughed field. And Kildare won that day by a couple of points. And before that, it was 2015, I think it was, Jason Ryan's last year in charge. It was a qualifier, and Kildare gave Cork a bit of a hammer on that day. I remember coming out with Turris and the Cork bus going by us, and I can tell you one thing, the lads had their heads down. They were absolutely shocked. They were played off the field that day. Now, Kildare did play very well. They went on and got a bit of a hiding off Dublin in the Leinster semi-final. But twice that Kildare and Cork met, Kildare came out on top both times.
All right, but of course, we can recite all the records, Tommy, we can, but they generally, particularly if it's a couple of years ago, might not have much bearing on the present situation. Cork, I think, are looking in a better place despite the recent problems. Kildare, you mentioned, Tommy, did you 10 of that team were played Meath last year?
Nine started in that team, yeah. And ironically, even though they scored 5 goals, conceded 5, 6 out of the 7 at the back will be starting, are named for Saturday.
All right, would that cause you worry?
That game last against me was a bit of a freak game. I mean, there was times that Kildare played very, very good football last November. The first half in particular, I think they led by 4 or 5 points at half time. They went behind and they got back, fought back level. There was only a couple of points. They were level actually, Clem, about 12 or 13 minutes to go. But I mean, the conceded 5 second half goals, and you just cannot do that. Really and truly, Mead bullied Kildare in the second half last November. And don't forget that that was a Mead team too that didn't win a match in Division One.
Right.
They were relegated, only won through their last match. But look, as somebody was saying, a new season, Kildare, forget about last year. Forget about last year. I'm sure Jack O'Connor had learned a lot from that Mead match. And they'll be going down to Torres on Saturday. They'll be going down confident. We don't really know what way Kildare or Cork, what really condition they're going to be in.
Nevertheless, Tommy, those injuries that he cited there in that little clip, they're quite significant.
Yeah, well, the main one, I suppose, is Fergal Conway. That'll be the main one.
Ben McCormack not available. Niall Kelly still rehabbing. He mentioned one or two others.
Yeah, Matty Byrne is going overseas with the arm. Yeah. You know, I mean, they're all. And now, Shea Ryan is not named. Con Cameron is not named. Ironically enough, there's no Sarsfield is not named on the starting 15, which is strange to say the least. But as I say, unless you're at the training, you know exactly what's going on. You know who's injured, who's showing any kind of early promise. You certainly couldn't condemn anything or be very critical of the team.
All right. Tommy, we'll leave it there, but you can read Tommy's analysis in this week's edition of the Leinster Leader, and he'll have full coverage and photos, of course, and next Tuesday morning's paper. And it's great to know summer is here when Tommy is back, at least according to Mick in silence. Thanks a million, Tommy.
Thanks, Claire.
Yeah, lovely. It's great to talk to you again, indeed. Thank you for that. That's Tommy Callaghan, as we said. And our thanks, indeed, to Pat Costello, who's sports editor of the Kildare Nationalist, where you can read the preview of that game and all the analysis. And again, of course, next Tuesday, they will have photos and full reports as well in the paper. But first of all, Pat's on duty for us tomorrow in St. Conan's Park, along with Mark Maloney, from 12:45 for the Hurlers against Donegal, followed later in the afternoon by the collective efforts of the footballers, Pat, Peter McConnell and Ger McNally on commentary, all brought to you throughout the afternoon in association with Hanlon Concrete Products of Robertstown. So don't forget to join Owen Beattie tomorrow between 2 and 6, indeed, and Ben Atkinson before that, because the Hurlers get underway at 1 for all the coverage. And then, don't forget Sunday, Ciarán Noble on Sportsbeat. She'll have all the sporting action nationwide, but also a chance for you to hear the post-match interviews and analysis from tomorrow's games.